Okay.
Nick, morning, Nick. Need another chair? Today is the 8th.
Okay.
Is today the 8th?
Yes.
All right. You have an agenda that was submitted? Anybody have any additions, subtractions, corrections, changes to the agenda? Would anybody care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. We accept
Johnny
the agenda.
Johnny moves.
I second.
Johnny moves and Terry Piskey seconds. Any discussion about the agenda? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passed. Public comments. Anybody have anything they'd like to address the board about? Short rules at this time. Nick?
Chad?
John? Glenn? Bill?
Is the coffee thing on the agenda? The meet and greet coffee?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay, cool.
Okay, President's report. Well, we've had a busy week. I haven't had a busy week, but some of us have had a busy week. So there was a lot of concern about this fire. There was a lot of concern. Hi, Victoria. Do you have anything to address us about at the beginning?
No, that's okay. I'll get caught up.
Okay. So I think Roger will have some information for us later on in the meeting, but I know that the reaction to the communications from our emails was positive. You know, there was a lot of information. It was very difficult to get information. I know that, you know, we tried various sources and the websites weren't always up to date, and it was always good to get a communication back from the scene here. I know that they had they used this area of the stage with, and I needed to talk to you about the toilets. I'm not sure. Are we going to go to the extent of that? Are those going to be reimbursed, or how does all that work?
No, that's not reimbursable.
Okay, that's fine. Sure. Okay, that's fine. I mean, it was $500-$600 is basically what it was. And so there was a lot of moving parts. I shouldn't use that phrase. That's Roger's phrase.
Oh, they're still talking about the bathroom.
Still talking about the bathroom.
Shame on you.
But I think all in all, we ended up very lucky. And, I think it was a Gladiator fire. I'm not sure, way back in the 60s, that burned right up to this basically the same area. As you go to Five Points, I don't know, did Five Points burn?
No.
Yeah, but the fire line is right there behind, down that hill?
No.
Well, that fire burned. There were sticks.
That was a battle fire in 1972.
Yeah. So it's been close before, but this is as close as we'd like to have it anymore. So other than that, Secretary's report, you weren't here last week, but you want Terry to...
Yeah, I wasn't here, so...
Well, you want me to go through it, or you
no,
want
I
want
to go through it. He presented it.
Yep.
Does anybody have any... Are you going to move to approve and dismiss with the reading of the minutes?
I will. Yeah.
The question is, I'm just curious. Was it online? Was it posted?
Yes.
Okay.
I sent it to Chris.
Okay.
Okay. And that's something I did not do, and that was one of my concerns.
Okay.
This morning, because I didn't know who to send it to.
Okay. So it's been posted, and I would just make a motion to waive the reading of the minutes.
Okay. I will second that.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Well, there you go. Even Glenn Itchwood is in favor.
Okay, the treasurer's report. Okay, I think we actually have the year-end information now, and it's been distributed. And I think the interesting thing about this is that I'm going to go to the profit and loss actual. We had a net ordinary income. We had budgeted $113,000 for income. We only brought in $102,000. This is for the year. So we were we're short $2,500 in terms of income. and because we were a deficit, we had our budget was a deficit budget of $10,000 plus. We had budgeted $10,825, but because of the other side of the ledger, we didn't have the expenses that we normally would have or they had budgeted for. We actually came in at $8,300 over budget with income. And that doesn't include the Walker Trash. Walker Trash held this money back. It's all reported in the tax reports. It's WFPA income, but it's held in the trash collection because we were paying the Firewise out of that. And there's some communication this month about the Firewise actually contributing money or giving money back to WFPA from their funds. They had some money. I don't know what that's about yet because I haven't seen the detail. But there was some thought that maybe the county wasn't going to bill for all their equipment, so they weren't going to have the expense that they expected to have. They expected this to be a $13,000 expense or $14,000, and we had some $7,000 worth of expense for the roll-offs. And we had the money that was left over that what we had spent for the roll-offs, $2,500 or so, plus the $3,000 that Firewise had to pay for the county equipment. And so I don't know if, and Lauren's not here to be able to ask about that. But at any rate, for the year, we were $8,300 to the good, or above the budget in terms of income. And which is a
worked
good,
out okay.
Which is
it
a good
was looking
rate.
Like we were really behind
plus,
the eight ball.
Plus the Walker Trash is very healthy. We have, I think, I left my phone and I don't. He sent this to me after I left home, so I couldn't print it out. I think that we have some $15,000 in that account, and we have $1,200 a month for the next 6 months. You know, we're not going to get anywhere near that in terms of expenses for the pickups from Best Pick. And I think Best Pick has been a better service provider than Patriot was. I haven't had near the complaints as a result of the change to Best Pick that I had from Patriot. So it doesn't mean that it's going to stay that way, but...
Right. And the complaint generally would be that people get down here to dump and they're full?
They're full, they're overflowing, they
mm-hmm.
didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
There were many times they didn't come and pick up, and they still billed us for it.
I see. I see.
So there was... I don't know what was happening with Patriot, but I think it was a good move. So I don't know if you've had a chance to read through this. There were some items in here that we should probably in the new budget, if and I don't have a printed copy of the new budget that Steve is having us look at. I think we should probably look at it for the next month. But there's some things in here that we could probably adjust so we don't show up as a negative over budget expense next year, like insurance costs.
Mm.
There was a liability insurance. We estimated $500, and we actually had a $1,200 liability bill. So there's no reason to not estimate a little better in terms of what the liability insurance is going to be. And he should probably talk to you.
Absolutely.
Get
yeah.
you more involved in the budget process
right.
rather than just guessing, and thinking that that's...
Yeah, I didn't know that had occurred.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't know until I read through the budget.
Okay. All right.
So, but... all in all, we're healthy, and I think that Steve's doing a great job in terms of keeping these reports coming to us. And Adam, I think that's the greatest thing we ever did was have that accountant take care of that those tasks. So are there any questions about the treasurer's report or the motion? Do you want to accept this?
I move to accept
report?
The treasurer's report.
Okay. Terry moves.
I'll second it.
We're still talking about the toilet.
Quick.
Okay, any discussion about the treasurer's report? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, passes. Fire chief's report. You want to waive the fire chief's report?
oh, waive it. All right, so calls during the month, we had a propane leak related to the Goodwin fire, and we had a car accident the night before the Goodwin fire started. Training, we did ICS training, and we supported the structure protection task force assigned to the Goodwin Fire. That was kind of a, you know, not traditional training time, but, you know, that was a several-day thing. Off-district assignment. Rescue 81 had mechanical issues on the Goodwin Fire having to do with fuel injectors, which came about as the truck idled for hours at a time, which is standard procedure, possibly attributable to not being driven enough. So we're going to work on trying to run it more, drive it more, and so forth. Fleet, Patrol 81, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Patrol 80 needs to go in when Rescue 81 comes back. Facilities, the recent work in the dumpster lot was very fortuitous, with a huge presence of Structure Protection Task Force that was staged in that area. They were here for 3 days, made that effort, you know, made things, you know, much, there was like no dust with all the coming and going, and that was great. Defensible space. It became apparent at the Goodwin fire unfolded that many homes need a lot of work done. The Walker fire lies notwithstanding, many homeowners have done nothing. We may have a strike while the iron is hot opportunity with this. This could start with a scare the hell out of them email from the fire chief. But it would be a multi-step process. So I wanted to, you know, bring that here first. You know, if I'm going to just write something and then run it by you guys, that's cool. If you guys want input on writing it, that's cool. If someone else wants to write it.
Even better.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can spit it out in about 10 minutes. But if there's some direction that you guys prefer, cool, just let me know what it is.
And then how would you want to put that out? Oh, I finish up. I apologize.
Well, I think... Why don't we talk about, if interrupt you before you go into what actually happened to Goodwin Fire, to talk about this, you know, this issue. So what actually happened? There were crews that came in to protect the structures, and not only from our fire department, because you wouldn't have been able to do it just physically,
right.
But they actually, that's part of the plan, is to come into these communities and then make evaluations and actually go in and clean the property, get the property so they can protect the community.
And what would that involve?
Well, they actually went on the properties and
they cut trees and pulled the brush and pine needles. And
raking away from the house.
Okay.
Raking away from the propane tanks. There were some trees cut. But more than that, you just kind of be limbing up from the bottom, you know, reducing or eliminating what's called ladder fuel.
Right.
You can imagine what that would be. That's the basic getting stuff off decks. People love to put wood underneath decks, moving piles of combustibles like that out from under decks. Some people have that on decks, same thing. You know, that accounts for 90%, if not more, of what they're doing.
And a couple of trees that needed if they were really bad.
There were some trees that were cut, yes.
Okay. And I think some were marked, too. It's like, if things get to this point, we would cut these trees, right?
I'm not sure I understand.
I think someone, I was at a function yesterday, somebody said there was a certain color put on trees that if the fire gets beyond this point, we're cutting these down. And they were actually marked with the pink ribbons. I thought, interesting, I never heard that before.
I don't think
that's put pink ribbon around my trees after we got home. Maybe that's what somebody's...
Right.
I've got 11 I need to take out.
Right, I see.
I think the different colors have to do with whether or not they feel the house is actually mitigated. There's green and pink
and
orange.
Kind of an orangish one, yeah.
And so if they felt they mitigated the house, as I understand it, they would put green on it. With the houses we did about 50.
Right.
And that's what we did. It was green for the house, you know, we believe to be mitigated.
Right.
And, you know, kind of a, not really a nasty green, but a, hey, you need to do more if we left orange.
Gotcha.
On the house.
Okay. And that's something people should know, though. If you came home and there's a big orange thing in your house.
Great point.
Here's what it means.
Great point.
Yeah. And you're right. I was in Potato Pass just a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, boy, this is so overgrown, and you see pine needles on roofs, and I thought, this is a mess.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tinderbox. And even looking at, this is allowing us to look at our own situation. We were mitigated 4 or 5 years ago, and I look at how many trees are still there because we thought they were cool. It's like, no, these 6 trees means we lose our house. Fire's coming this way up the hill. We absolutely should have had those removed. Just something.
Okay, so Roger, then you could, when you write your email, we'll talk about how it comes probably from you is a good place,
okay.
And to incorporate those kinds of things, what the different colored ribbons are, kind of an informative email about what happened and what you discovered when you examined the community, that there were places that needed to have, to be able to be saved, they had to have some changes made. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't get to all of them necessarily, and you need to have, you know, and in case this happens again, it will happen again. It's just a matter of when. Okay. So there's going to be fires.
And when we had WCA had their event, the Forest Service was here. And the Forest Service gentleman was nice, and I chatted with him. He said, you know, if you want me to walk your property, I'll walk your property, and I'll make recommendations. So that might be something that maybe we could get back, circle back with the Forest. I know they got the Hansel this season, obviously, with other stuff in the state. But that might be something that, if he's willing to do that to the community, he says he would do it for me. I never got a chance. I sent the email, but I never had a chance because obviously all.
Right.
But that might be something that the community can do and just take some guidance from these guys and say, you know, come back through. And but, you know, I would maybe say reach out to the Forest Service. And
WalkerFireWise.org has been doing exactly that. Lauren and a few others have been, whatever the right word is, certified or something
right.
else to do that, and kind of taking care of our own, maybe is the way to go. I'll tie in with Lauren.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, just mention
that.
He's going that might be, yeah.
Even if there are not grant dollars available.
Correct.
And that's what so many people, you know, really tied on to this whole concept of, well, if I can get mitigation done at 10 cents on the dollar, I'll do it. But if not, I'm not. Well, maybe it is important enough to have them come in and say, look, these eight trees are,
yeah.
This is the end of your house. Right.
Yeah. I think a good example is that lady that came this morning. She recognized that they were going to have to clean her property up, and
mm-hmm.
she's now looking for someone to help her do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Any other questions about this defensible space and the email maybe to the community?
My only question would have been, so in what form would you send this out? Through the Facebook page or through whatever?
Email.
Probably the community distribution.
Okay.
Would make more sense on the Facebook page.
Okay.
Are you going to mention the Forest Service thing?
Yeah, in that context?
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, you know, plenty of people ask the fire department, I can say, you know, or ask, you know, mention, I'll check with Lauren first. Say they can ask us, and they'll find out whether or not that's something that they actually have the manpower to do before just putting that out there. But that would be a...
Mm-hmm. I just see where that would get confusing.
Yeah.
Right.
The Forest Service comes out and says, do X, Y, Z, and then Lauren, who has been doing this forever with this group, you know, comes up and says, well, do ABC, and then, you know, that's just extremely really good.
Okay. All right, Roger, the rest of this, you have submitted this to us in writing, but I think we'd all be interested to hear without necessarily having you read it, just the sequence of events about the fires, as
okay.
best you can do it. And I think that, Ed, in the minutes, you just use
I'm going to cut and paste that whole
cut
document.
Rather than, you know, try to follow along with,
right.
but there may be rabbits that we chase out of this.
Yeah, I'll cut the whole thing right in.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, so I'll try to be concise. The fire started on Saturday the 24th, like mid or late afternoon. We first scouted it up on Big Bug Mesa Road Saturday night. Throughout the fire, we were going up there in the morning, and then later in the afternoon or early evening, at least twice a day for the duration to scout it. Every time that I went, and I did go every time, I would take at least one other person with, maybe not every single time, but most of the time, took people with me from the department to get eyes, you know, on the fire, let them see it. And I was posting from that one spot onto the Facebook page, so you were seeing a consistent view of what was going on. I thought that would, you know, as opposed to being all over the place, you don't know how to compare it. So anyway, started Saturday. Sunday, wasn't much to do, but I did get a call. We knew it was going to get escalated to a Type 1 incident, which is the most serious, you know, numbers, a scale of 1 to 5. 5 is a smoldering stump in the rain, and 1 is what this was. So we knew Sunday. I'd been called out to a briefing that was going to be Monday at 11. So I went most days, not every day, most days to that 11 a.m. briefing out at Bradshaw Middle School in Dewey. Not much to talk about Monday. We went out with Jack Smith after that meeting, showed him around. Did the same thing Tuesday, went out with him after the meeting, showed him around. So a lot of FaceTime with him. Tuesday, the 11 o'clock briefing. Things were looking, okay. We're not nowhere near out of the woods, but whatever. And then around 12 or 12:30 Tuesday afternoon, there was the only word I can think of was aberrant fire behavior. There's a period between 2:30 and 4:30 in the afternoon where a fire is prone to blow up. The things have been heating up all day, a lot of sunlight all day. The humidity is about at its low. Temperature is getting close to what it's going to be at its high. So 2:30 to 4:30 is a danger time. This fire blew up at about 12 or 12:30. Aberrant behavior. And it essentially created a firestorm. It created its own weather, which can happen, that raced toward Mayer. It was really the same, not the same, similar phenomenon as what turned around and took the Granite Mountain hotshot, but there was no one in the way. I think there was better understanding of this potential, and that's what made it, such that no one was in the way on Tuesday. Driving home from the 11 o'clock briefing, and I posted this on the Facebook page, you could see that the smoke had changed. Without knowing anything else, the smoke went from white and maybe churning some to much darker, churning much more violently, moving faster. There's a word that fits in there, traveling smoke. That's what this was, so Tuesday. And Tuesday, a little after that, was the pre-evacuation notice for Walker. I made the decision Wednesday would be an all-hands-on-deck day at the station. We had that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Saturday was a short day, not really Sunday. The turnout was amazing. I had to count for something. There were, 19 or 20 of us involved. Not that many every day, but we had a huge turnout every day doing stuff. Wednesday was very chaotic around here. It was the first, no, it was not, but it was very chaotic around here. There was a massive law enforcement present here in terms of sheriff's deputies and chief posse. The evacuation order came in the 11 o'clock hour. I think we found out only 10 minutes before that was made public. We had no advance notice. Very surprised that that's what, that we got the evacuation notice, but we did, and so that set a whole bunch of things off in motion. If the fire was really going to come here and burn down Walker and burn down the firehouse, I made the decision that we would move some or all of the fleet to Costco, not having heard anything else from the IMT. We moved about half the fleet down there. We had half the fleet here. We heard from the IMT with direction about what to do and who is going to be coming the next day. So we kept what amounted to a mini task force here the first night of the evacuation, a brush truck, structure engine, water tender. We had three firefighters stay behind the evacuation here. Me, Terry Morrison, Dennis Martineau, also our station boss, Dan Houck, stayed behind. In case something happened, we'd be able to get eyes on it, call it in, either attempt to address it, or if it was that kind of danger, get the hell out. Thursday morning, we had an all hands on deck again. The amount of cooperation that we had from any sort of law enforcement, and really by then what was there was sheriff, and the chief posse was done on Wednesday. They went around to all the houses. The sheriff, though, the deputies, and Game and Fish, that too was law enforcement here. I ran into one BLM dude down from Phoenix, but that's really who was here with Game and Fish and sheriff. The cooperation we had in terms of letting our guys come in, those plates that you had made, that helped. I told everyone to be wearing their yellows. That helped. We had IDs made a few years ago. That helped. The guy said, we're not in the business of hassling yellow shirts. And so the cooperation was fantastic. We had a great presence here, and we were, I basically structured this thing where we were taking Patrol 80 down to pick people up to bring them in, with a couple of exceptions. That way we would be able to, if a firestorm came this way, we'd be able to get the trucks out and the two or three personal vehicles without leaving any of that behind. Pretty much same thing Thursday with the addition of the structure protection detail, as the right term is task force, that was assigned here. We had quite a few trucks, probably four Type 3 engines, one hand crew, a Type 1 truck, and at least one Type 6 from Scottsdale. That's what was back there, along with the division supervisor, the task force leader. When they first showed up on Thursday, I went on what seemed like a 90-minute drive all over the area with the division supervisor and the task force leader, give them an idea of what they were getting themselves into. that leads to the defensible space stuff. One of the first things they talked about, and I don't remember exactly why we started there, but we started at Charcoal Kiln. And, you know, the reaction to that place was, well, these people put in the time and money to get their properties to look like this, so we're going to put in our time. So that was the first thing out of their mouth in looking at the community. They ultimately assessed and or worked on every property in Walker and Potato Patch and everything in between. Doesn't mean they worked on every house. Some, you know, there are some that are just absolute catastrophes. They didn't work on them. So that is the catalyst for thinking we need to write a letter. But they, you know, worked like crazy. The second day, they had all of those resources that I just described, plus two more hand crews. So that's, you know, 80 or 90 people here working, you know, 10, 15 minutes at a time on the house, maybe longer in some instances, but, you know, the hand crews, I mean, they're all young guys that are freakishly fit. They work like animals, and that's why they were able to do so many houses in such a short period of time. Saturday was their third day here. They came with that showing again, but it was a short day for them here because they had run out of houses. In the middle of all of that, on Thursday and Friday, while staying out of their way, we mitigated a total of about 50 houses, starting in Boundary Springs, because that was one direction the fire was coming from, and that was out of their way. And then from the bottom of Pine Mountain Road and the bottom of Sheldon Road, coordinating with the division supervisors, that, again, we would stay out of their way. You know, we're not going to do their job better than them, and we're sure as hell not going to do it faster than them. But, we did it. We moved a whole lot of stuff. We raked a lot. We moved a ton of debris, you know, I mentioned before, crap under deck. I don't know why people do that, but, you know, there's one we spent probably 20 minutes moving a pile out near Boundary Springs. An amazing learning opportunity for all of us in terms of, you know, structure mitigation. We've trained on it before, but here we actually had to do it. A phenomenal learning opportunity. Thursday on the fire was make or break day for the fire. A long laundry list of stuff that had to go right. Wednesday, I was thinking, okay, maybe things aren't so bad. The Thursday 11 a.m. briefing scared the hell out of me. And it was a long list of stuff, and starting with probably four or five different weather factors, that enough of them worked that the fire did not come this way. The risk of the fire was, if you have seen the pictures that I posted on Facebook, you look at the mesa. One risk was it coming around the corner as it sloped downhill up through the pole inside of Breezy Pine, burning Breezy Pine, running up Big Bug Mesa Road, coming our way. The other big risk was it going south, going up and down a few very small ridges, running up Mount Union, back over the other side, through Potato Patch, coming in and burning our area. Less of a risk in terms of just fire behavior is cresting over Big Bug Mesa Road and backing down into Breezy Pine. You know, fire doesn't move downhill very easily. It can, and it does, but it doesn't do it easily. The risk is it ripping uphill, and that's, you know, there was all sorts of, you know, things like that. For a time, this was and it's in my report, this was an unfightable fire. There are other pockets back in there that would make for an unfightable fire. I don't know if they're going, you know, too early now to know whether they're going to go in and bulldoze in the winter when there's, you know, risk of nothing. I don't know if they're going to do that, but it would be great if they did. There are parts where they can. Anywho, so things were winding down Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Still a lot of work here, though, not out of the woods. I think Saturday is probably when it was out of the woods. And the evacuation was lifted, I guess, on Monday, which was... you know, it's kind of like in firefighting, if you have a structure fire and you declare it out and you leave, and then you have to come back because it's not out. I think that may be, you know, why they waited on the evacuation. Because, you know, if you saw the containment numbers, it was in the mid-70s. They had knockdown. But the definition of containment is not what most people think. Containment is, depending on what the incident commander says, one or two chain links in. A chain is 66 feet. And you must turn over every square foot for that 66 feet or that 132 feet, again, whatever the IC tells you to do. So that's containment. So they had knockdown, but not containment. And if it's not containment, then there is still the risk. Personally, I'll say it was one of the most amazing weeks of my life. The manner in which our group stepped up, wanted to step up, which, you know, I underscore that word. They wanted to be here, wanted to help. While the trucks, you know, the half of the fleet that was at Costco, we had people there all night safeguarding the equipment. Costco brought out, you know, those big rolly things, you know, water and food by the big rolly thing constantly. We've got a ton of jerky, trail mix, water, vitamin water, Gatorade. I'm forgetting other stuff. Granola bars, if I didn't just say that. We owe them a thank you, and so I'll ask if that's something that should just come from me. And then, you know, everyone, I was thinking, you know, if it just came from me, I would have the firefighters all sign at the margin, and I would mail it in. If it should come from the whole board, great, tell me that. But, you know, this was scary in a lot of ways. It was an epic response in more ways than it was scary. You know, unbelievably proud to be associated with the guys that, you know, that we have. Just an amazing experience. I mean, you know, again, speaking personally, you know, when you have these things, my own hippie nonsense, about being aware of the moment. I was aware most of the time of what this was in terms of a huge history in the fire department's, huge chapter in the fire department's history, and the manner in which the guy stepped up was, I can't stress that enough, was just amazing.
You know what, on top of all that, though, they have to respect you as a leader and listen to you, and you are the perfect person to really head up that whole thing.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for that. Yeah, that really pulled that whole thing together, you know.
The Facebook helped a lot, you know, and it's much easier to just post to Facebook than to write an email, send it to Chris, have him post it. And, you know, that worked. The number of our followers almost doubled. And I think we created awareness, and I think people now expect information to come from there. You know, and hopefully that can continue to be a conduit of accurate information.
Right. Well, great summation. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Better reading.
Yeah.
And then?
Any other questions for Roger about this?
Okay. Was there any money that... for example, when you put a water tender out there, does the Forest Service eventually pay you for that?
We didn't put a water tender out there. We put an ambulance. That we get paid for. Anything we did within our own district, we don't get paid for.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, Rudy.
Just a comment.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know, we were all trying to figure out where and what and who and all this stuff, and then it came down to where most of it was just not blathered, but it wasn't accurate, right?
Yeah.
But between your email and your emails, I mean, you were, I felt like we knew what was going on.
In addition to the Forest Service stuff and the sheriff's, that's what I used when I was in Scottsdale to piece together what's going on a daily basis. Yeah. I check what you were doing. It's the Forest Service. Yeah. And you send out an email, and it's...
Well, I think Roger is a focal for that kind of information is critical, because if you get too many fingers in that pie... Yeah.
I have an Terry. Observation, because I know I talked to Dan Dougherty about it as well. Most of us up here signed up for emergency notification from YSCO several years ago. I never got a ding. Dan never got a ding. We evacuated ourselves, okay, because we could see the top of Big Bug Mesa, and we could see the glow separating the ground from the fire or from the smoke. But we never got a ding. And that was a little concerning, because at that time, this was Tuesday, nobody had been up there yet. I mean, we had no fire department of anybody, presence that I had seen go by. We had Sheriff's Posse. But I was thinking about John. John is way off the beaten path, cannot see Big Bug Mesa Road. And so I think it was probably a failure in the YSCO emergency management system that that did not work. Now, since then, I've registered with the, what is it called?
Code Red.
Code Red, yeah. But that is completely different from what we all signed up for here several years ago.
Yeah, they changed it.
Okay.
That old one doesn't, I don't think, work anymore, but the new one is this Code Red.
Is that the reverse 911? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Code Red worked for me. I signed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I text them.
Well, I did after we got back.
Sorry,
sorry. Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay, a quick question.
Well, I think this, ask us at the end.
One quick comment, though, is that the Facebook page is great.
Mm-hmm.
Roger had some time, fortunately, because of the fire, to update that.
Mm-hmm.
If Walker was burning,
right.
A lot of people still want to know in the valley, whatever, Roger's going to be busy.
Right.
It's just a suggestion that Roger may look for somebody that can help author the web page or something, so he could either just quickly communicate something to them or something and have, you know, like a secretary or somebody help with that. It's just a suggestion.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Anybody else for Roger? Okay. Have a motion to accept Roger's report.
I'll make the motion.
Second. Shio. Oh, there Rudy.
Rudy.
Man. Rudy Erdman, second.
Oh, some lightning.
Any more discussion about the fire chief's report? All in favor, say aye. Okay. I put Walker Day down here under old business, but basically it's up here under committee reports is where where we talk about it. So you want to give us a brief summary? It's kind of anticlimactic. You know, we finished this Walker Day and then ended up with this brouhaha. So.
Right, right. Well, I'll tell you what. One minute or less, the nutshell was biggest Walker Day I've ever been to. I mean, I've only been here for 10 years, but I've never seen a bigger number. We know that we have over 10,000 just profit from Walker Day, but thousands and thousands in contributions, people handing us checks, people that have never given us a check before that just said, well, I want to contribute to the fire department. The merchandise sales was the biggest we've ever had. Again, now that's only about 70% of that is cost of goods sold, but still, I think over 3,000 bucks, I think, was sold in that. I don't really focus on the numbers of, like, which department did so much. All I know is when it all gets to Adam's hands and when we give $10,000 check or $10,000 worth of cash into the bank, I know that that's profit. So most all of it was sponsored, Nick and his wife and Conrad and Victoria and all these people that sponsor the beverages and the food and all that. We start Walker Day almost at zero. I mean, we've got almost nothing invested. And then the number of firefighters that helped out, it ended up being even a bigger event than I expected. We had guys out there 92 degrees in the sun and on the road just directing traffic because it would have been a mess. I mean, I was working with the shuttling service and having Ed's wife come out here, and she was shuttling, Joe Steerwald, is that what?
Or no, Steerwald, Bob.
He was shuttling. I need more shuttles. It's become a bigger event. The weekend was really helpful. We were not competing with, I'm going over my 1 minute, but we're not competing with the Bluegrass Festival. I didn't realize how many people said, oh, we never come to Walker Day because Bluegrass Festival is the same weekend. Those people bringing their lawn chairs out here. So we had I think we served about 700 lunches,
yeah.
Something like that. We had a nice presence from the Big Brothers, Big Sisters. We gave them a buy one, get one free lunch, and we just had huge numbers. I think everyone at the art show did well. I don't know. Well, it was a great Walker Day. It was really a shot in the arm.
Right, and my wife was just doing a show and just commented the firefighters were fantastic, helping direct traffic and parking through the whole area.
Right.
And I think going forward, if they would volunteer to do that again, the traffic direction was vital to make sure people parked.
It was.
Handicapped people with stickers, they couldn't park. They let them come in and, you know, unload
right
there by the shuttle parking,
right.
A big sign, and then they help them back out again and go down the road, and the people with handicapped or walkers or wheelchairs, they can exit there and get back out and then cross the road. It was, to me, I thought it was essential to keep it as safe as possible that day, and she commented on it. And that was really, and he just stepped up and did it. She goes, well, these guys just started stopping traffic.
Right.
They saw her little shuttle thing, and this guy needs to help park.
Right.
And they just jumped in. So it really was a key to keep it safe that day. And awesome. Just thank the firefighters.
Yeah, it had a great momentum. It took on a life of its own, and people just jumped into places where they needed to be. I was in the weeds at one point, and some guy had a bench he wanted to donate, and I saw Nick, and I said, Nick, can you walk 150 feet to this guy's car and just bring this bench? Because he couldn't park any closer.
Right.
The answer was, yep, and it's done. And I was always amazed that the person I needed was always in my periphery at that very minute. It was, again, by the grace of God, everything from an outsider's perspective, they would have thought, wow, what a nicely coordinated venue. This really worked out well. What they didn't realize is, you know, there's a fire going on in the background, but somehow it's the plane is in the air and we're making repairs in the air just to keep it going, but somehow we got to our destination.
Mm-hmm.
So it really was great. Yeah.
Well, I know, Roger, we did this on a training day for the firefighters, but I don't know what we have to have a discussion about doing it next year, how we're going to handle that. But it's important that your firefighters be there this, for a couple of different reasons. Number one is we need the manpower, mm-hmm. and it's great for them to be seen by the community in that capacity. Because
we talk about there
really
being three or four events, you know, where we need a blue shirt presence. We talk about that all the time for
right.
various reasons.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Some
okay.
people from the art show would say that they were amazed at firefighters helping them put their easy ups up, and
that
was essential. You know, that
great.
That sign was important. You know,
okay.
right. So that was Walker Day. It was great.
Any questions from the board about Walker Day?
Mm-hmm.
I think the deposit was $14,000 or $15,000, and you had another
$1,850.
Yeah, that came in later than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the Walker Day income was like. But $10,000 or $11,000 plus those there were donations, you know, that those are the amount of donations that came in addition to the Walker Day income. I think this is a good time in each committee report to address Nick's request to about a you know, a meet and greet. Okay. The consensus here in the board is that there are already several of these events during the month for membership, the people that come to the fire. Pancake breakfast, we have the, and the bingo is the third Saturday, and we have the Kids Day is going to be in the middle of July,
the fourth
Saturday. And there are other functions here that WCAA have here at the fire station. We don't know that... something like this. Were you addressing this on a weekly basis? Did you want to do this on a weekly basis, a monthly basis?
I had to determine the schedule of it.
Yeah. I think
the thought was to maybe look at doing it on training day and at starting an hour before, so the firefighters, if they wanted to, they could show up a little bit early, get a cup of coffee with some of the residents.
I think the sense of the board is, Nick, that this is probably, we already have enough happening. If, you know, you want to add something like that, we don't. It didn't seem to make sense to us to do another event like that. It wouldn't necessarily be an event that you were holding here. It would have to be done something sponsored by the WFCA, and then we'd need to be able to have it staffed. You would staff it if that's what you're saying, but it just didn't seem to make sense to have something like that that was not part of what we do here as part of the WFCA function. So. Anyway, that was the sense of what
I was actually looking for was the location, but if there's no location on property, Firehouse Coffee is going to donate some coffee. We're looking at doing something, so we may just do it.
Sure, that's fine. If you want to do something like that, I mean, that's fine. It just, and there are a lot of those going on already. You know, you have that lady over on Pine Mountain and Potter Lane. She has a social function, and there's other kinds of potluck gatherings, you know, in neighborhoods throughout the community. And there's a lot of opportunity to come down here to the firehouse and to greet. Okay. Well, business, we did the walk today. We, the budget, Steve had given us a budget just within the last couple of days, and I think that we need to look at it. We're operating, you know, in a continuing resolution type thing of the with the budget that we had last year. It, you know, we're within like a few cents of each year of the budget. But he's recommending some increases, and I saw some things in there where, like I mentioned earlier, where we have insurance we underestimated some expenses and overestimated other things. So we'd like to have it come together a little bit. It's kind of a rough draft of what we're going to do, but it gives us a pretty good idea. Like merchandise spent more money than they had been budgeted, but at the same time they brought in more income. You know, we budgeted like $4,000 income. She has like $7,000 for
right
income. So those kinds of things. So I think we should probably table a budget until next month. We're continuing. We're operating just fine. I think there's we have two checks here as a result of this Goodwin fire. People have just dropped them off. Two more.
By the way, those are neighbors that live in our neighborhood across from Costco.
Yeah, so another example, I think that the community is very generous and have always been very generous. So, new business, the Goodwin Fire. We already talked about the Goodwin Fire. I don't think we need to talk about that anymore. So, now, community announcements. You have anything that you want to address with us, Nick? Chad, Sean, Victoria.
And I think this has slipped through the cracks because of, the past activity. But, Roger, I don't think that Carla got some information to you, but it was posted on the Walker calendar, you know, the one that was sold. But next Saturday is the thank you brunch for the firefighters that the WCAA has done annually. It's after training. I know when the calendar was given for when we needed the fire station. I know, John, you were probably given the whole total list, but this should have gone to you a couple of weeks ago, and it just slipped through the cracks. So we'll get something out inviting all the firefighters to our, you know, and we'll thank you brunch. Okay?
Okay.
10:30 start. That's usually after training. That gives us time to set up. We usually set up about 9:30. You'll have the normal trucks out, so that shouldn't be a conflict.
I'll tie in with Carla and we'll work out the details.
Pardon?
I will tie in with Carla and work out the details.
Okay.
Anything else?
You know, one thing that we didn't touch on, and real quick, I have to circle back on Walker Day. I don't have a calendar in front of me. I believe June 16th of next year is the third Saturday is when I'd like to have Walker Day. We kind of touched on this a week or two ago before the whole blow up with the fire and all that, but that's a day that I'd like to get it locked in. And we talked that there might be some conflicts. I'm sure by now, again, is it appropriate for us just to pick that date now?
Okay, but I have some pushback for that date.
Oh, I know you do. I know you've got 10 or 12 people that would prefer that it was the end of that, like the 23rd rather than
the next week.
Right, but again, if I'm getting hundreds more people to show up because we're not conflicting with a big bluegrass festival, that seems to be the best date.
The bluegrass festival the following weekend?
Correct. Well, right, okay. We can't. If we compete with that, we lose thousands in revenue.
Yeah. You
know, maybe $5,000 difference just because of that weekend.
Right.
Okay.
Just for what it's worth, too, let me interject. Your signage, I got, running a yard sale out here, I got so many people back there that come. I wouldn't even have known about it if it hadn't been for all the signs.
Right.
Down around Costco, all the stuff that you put up.
Right.
And that sucked them in.
And even I even need more, but, you know, I make these things, and they're brutally time-consuming. But I was thinking about actually buying the signs that you can plug into the ground, you know, $4 or $5 a piece, but if we... The key is you can only put them up on Friday and they have to be gone by Sunday or the road crews will take them.
Right.
And you have to remember where you put them. So I need someone that is like my advertising coordinator that's willing to say, okay, corner of Navajo and Spruce, and they've got to know where they are and then go get them, you know? Yeah. So, okay. Thank you, though, Terry.
Okay. Any other announcements? Public forum. Anything you want to address to the board other than what's already been discussed? Victoria?
Well, first of all, I'd like to address the use of Facebook. This isn't just me, but I've talked to a number of people who do not do Facebook. They don't want to get on Facebook. And the question is, then what is the WSPA website for? Many people feel that's where our communication should have come from, and that's the official site. Somebody said they were on Facebook, and people are going, oh, what nice pictures, good-looking fire. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. This is not a social function out here. So I question the use of Facebook. I know I will never get any information if it is on Facebook, as will some other people. So that's number one. Number two, on the Sunday communication that was sent out from Roger, below is the latest update posted at 1:28, go to Facebook, etc. This email is being typed at 1:46. I got it at 3:17. I think whoever is sending this out, there should be a lot better communication. In this emergency situation, it shouldn't be sitting there, what is it, an hour and a half sitting there? And lastly, when there was Tuesday the 27th, where we were told to go, we were in the pre-evac, the next word will be go. There are a lot of people who are brand new to this community who have never had to evacuate. It would have been nice to say, make sure you do A, B, C, D, and E. Turn off your propane at the tank. If you've got a gas stove, bleed the lines. Put out your white flag that you've evacuated. Make sure you take X, Y, and Z. Not only a week's worth of meds, but backup meds in case you can't get back in. I found this very lacking. Luckily, I have a sheet with what we were supposed to do. And I can't tell you how many neighbors and chit-chatting. I said, by the way, do you know this? And was, no, no. That should just be easy to put out. You've got it in a file. Here it is. And send it out with ready, set, go. So those are my concerns.
Okay, thanks, Victoria. Anybody else? Nick? Chad? John? Bill? Glenn? Jim?
Bill.
Nice ringtone. Okay.
What are you asking for?
Okay, so Victoria, Roger's going to work out with Carla about the brunch, which is next Sunday, right? Or next Saturday? Okay. Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, you're not going to see it. I guess I'm not on Facebook. I absolutely don't do Facebook. So I have to depend on other people to tell me what's going
on Facebook either.
So it's not, this is Roger. Roger runs this, does this as he can and has the time to do it. And it's a good source of information. Dropping this back down to the second, where the Sunday communication with Chris. You know, Chris is also a resident, and he was dealing with the same pre-evacuation that everybody else was. Didn't necessarily have access all the time to the computer, I suppose. So he was tied up doing things, but I don't know that at the two-hour delay, I don't know what communication this was. I don't know what the detail was in that communication. In terms of Roger writing it at 1:46 and it being distributed at 3:15. In the pre-evacuation and the evacuation, in addressing those that concern, I think that might not be a bad idea to have some sort of an information sheet that we can put together.
We created one a couple of years ago, Joyce and I.
Yeah.
And put them on the magnets.
Well, those are the routes, the evacuation routes.
Well, we also we had the route map. We also created one of a separate magnet with all the instructions on what to do.
Okay.
Okay, and what happened to those, I don't know.
The magnets are in the back room there, so that'd be an easy thing to do. Then we can just put that on the website as a PDF, so people can have access to it.
I got mine from the sheriff, that old listing, too.
Yeah, there's other sources. There's sources for that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but there's nothing wrong with us having to do.
Good suggestion.
Do we, in fact, have a welcome wagon packet that goes out when homes are sold, that kind of, we've talked about that years ago, and I thought we had things
on
that, where the magnets were supposed to go.
Yeah, Sharon had put one together back in the day, and I don't
know,
it wasn't anything that we did.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was something that Sharon did, and we put information in it.
Okay, like the magnets and things like that.
And things like that. That
okay.
Okay? All right, anybody else on the board have anything? Rudy?
I had a question on, maybe I'm not clear on this, but when an email goes out, let's say from Roger, does that go through Chris first? Is he our...
Yeah, he's the guy that puts it on the website. He's the one that has access to put the email community out.
So when Roger sent out an email, you write the email and then send it to Chris for distribution. Is that right? So it's,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I've sent him things, and it might take him a day or so to get it out. If it's not,
sure.
If it's not critical, so I
sure.
think he did a good job trying to keep up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Chris?
Terry?
No.
Good. Well, somebody has to move.
I'd like
adjourn.
To make a motion to
I'll
adjourn
second.
This meeting. All right.
All in favor?
All right.
All right, here we go.